I want to just share a few words with you this evening. I almost said this morning again, but I caught myself. You know, when you've done this for 32 years, Sunday mornings for I don't know how many. When I reached the 20-year mark, and I wrote a book called 1,000 Sundays, and so now we're at 32. So think about that. It gets kind of ingrained in you that you say good morning, because most of the time we're meeting in the morning. But anyways, about 3 or 4 months ago, I was just in prayer. I was in my office, and the Lord just impressed on me a scripture. I felt it was from the Lord, and it was Isaiah chapter 9, verse 2. And it says, the people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwelt in the land of the shadow of death, upon them a light has shined. And so I jotted it down, and I really felt like, come Christmas Eve, that's what I'm going to share. This is probably back in September. Well, the funny thing was, when I was just looking through some notes and stuff, you know, so really, if there's a title for this message, it's Jesus, the Light of the World. And I looked back and I said, you know, that's the same thing I preached about last Christmas Eve. And it's a different message, but I don't know. You know, when you preach so much and teach so much, you kind of, it all runs together. I mean, I knew I had shared, you know, from this verse, you know, probably many times in the past, but I didn't realize it was last Christmas Eve. But I thought, well, this is what I think I'm supposed to be sharing, so I'm just going to trust that the Lord's going to use it. So, Father, I just pray that you would just use this time, open our hearts, that you would speak to each of us. We're all at a different place in our lives. And we trust that you're going to use this in each life, wherever we're at in our lives. In Jesus' name. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwelt in the land of the shadow of death, upon them a light has shined. Okay, I think this is very obvious, but we are the ones in darkness, or were the ones in darkness. We were the ones dwelling in the land of the shadow of death. The light, of course, is Jesus. Jesus is the light of the world. In Luke chapter 2, it says concerning Jesus that he is a light to bring revelation to the Gentiles, and the glory of your people, Israel. You know, the Apostle John, who wrote the Gospel of John, and then the three epistles, the three letters of John, and the book of Revelation, he dwelt on this theme many, many times. And in John chapter 1, verse 4, it says, in him was life, and the life was the light of men. He was the true light which gives light to every man and woman, of course. That's really, really good news. Amen? That's really good news. But there is a problem. Does anybody want to guess what that problem is? And I'll make it very easy for you. The problem is not with God. Okay? The problem is not with God. John also says in chapter 1, in verse 5, he says, the light shines in the darkness. Anybody know what the rest of it is? And the darkness did not comprehend it. Different translations say it different. But the darkness did not comprehend it. It says also, this whole page, you should read John chapter 1, because it's so much of a theme, at least in the first 12, 14 verses. In verse 10 and 11, it says, he was in the world, and the world was made through him, and the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own did not receive him. The light of the world came, and many did not comprehend it, many did not receive it, and that condition remains today. And so it begs the question, why would people reject the light? It seems like a no-brainer, right? But yet we've almost all done it, right? Unless you are just one of those rare people that grew up in, and from the earliest of times when you had an understanding, you know, you just grasped the message of Christ and received it as a very young child. But most of us here don't have to think back too far to realize that there was a season in our life where we were rejecting the light. We probably didn't see it that way, but nonetheless, we were. In Deuteronomy chapter 30, it says, this is God speaking to the children of Israel and it applies to us today, I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life, that you and your descendants may live. Why would God need to encourage people to choose life and blessing? Right? It's like, behind this door is life and blessing. Behind this door is death and cursing. I would highly encourage you to choose life, right? And yet, many, many times, we choose darkness. And here's kind of getting down to the core of it. Again, in the Gospel of John, chapter 3, Jesus said this. He said, this is the condemnation, that the light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone who practices evil hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his deeds should be exposed. Men and women loved darkness rather than light. If you are in a pitch black room, sound asleep, and someone opens a door and turns a bright light on, your first reaction is not going to be a positive one, right? Because you are used to the darkness. It's familiar. There's a measure of comfort in it. And when we think about it in the sense of our lives, before we knew Christ, you know, and again, you know, wherever you're at in your life in that regard, for many, it's all they've ever known, right? So there's a degree of familiarity. There's a degree of comfort. There's a degree of predictability. You know how to live that way. And you've learned. We all, I'm sure, have been there. We adjust to the darkness, and the light then is seen as an unwelcome invader because we've become so accustomed to it. We use the cover of darkness to hide things, right? Did you ever hear somebody, you know, like a crime is committed or something, they say, and that was in broad daylight. Why is it so odd? You know, because that's not typical. You know, if you can do something under the cover of darkness, that would be, you know, something illegal or illicit or whatever. You know, you're going to try to do it under the cover of darkness so others can't see. Sometimes, let's just be real here. Sometimes we are just so stubborn that we would rather spend our life banging our head against a concrete wall, you know, than to come to the light of Christ. Just stubborn pride. I was there. Many of us have been there. And we're so familiar. It's so familiar. It's so comfortable. It's so predictable. I was preaching in the jail, and I was talking about some of this stuff. And you know, it's just, I'm afraid to change. You know, it was kind of cool. It was like this dialogue began with the guys, and, you know, this is all I've ever known. I'm afraid to change. I said, but do you like the outcome? Do you like where you're at? Right? No. Well, you know, then something has to change. Something has to give. We reject the light of God because we don't want to believe that there's a God. This is, again, this is a general statement. May not apply to everybody, but in many people's lives, we reject the light because we don't want to believe that there is someone that we have to answer to. There's a light. There's someone shining light, so to speak, in our lives. It's easier to erase God out of the picture and convince ourselves that we don't have to give an account to Him. People want to do what they want to do, and we don't want anyone, human or divine, questioning our choices. So we eliminate the source of the problem as we see it. Eradicate, eliminate the light of God. I was talking to someone years ago, sharing my testimony and how I had come to Christ. And we were sitting having lunch, and they said, you know, it seems, these were their words, it seems like it works for you. It's been working for you. Because they had seen changes in my life. And they said, it seems like it's working for you, but I don't want to give up control. Now, I commend that person because they understood what a lot of folks don't understand. It really is a matter of surrendering our lives to Christ. You know, we try it our way. You know, how many understand? How many are with you? You understand what it's like to do it your way, to try it your way. And many of us understand the fruit of that is not good. But we come around to this place and we say, Lord, you know, I give my life. I surrender my life. I say yes to you. I will receive your gift and so forth. At some point, we have to come to terms. This is what I was talking about Sunday. I made up a word, I think. It was called lostness. I don't know if it's in the dictionary, but we have to come to terms with our lostness and our absolute inability to save ourselves, our absolute inability for our lives to be made right with God in our own actions, in our own strength, and in our own wisdom. And I shared the story of, and it's not a real story, it's just a made-up story, of if you were out in the most vast, vast wilderness, and you were totally lost, and you had no clue, and you had no cell phone, and no GPS, and no food, and no water, and no supplies, and you were just groping around out there in this vast wilderness, not sure where to go, what way to go, and you came across a sign on a tree that said, follow this path, and it will take you to safety. Follow this path. It is the only way. I don't think too many people would squawk about that. I don't think you'd say, you know, I think I'm going to wait out here for a little bit longer and wait till I get a little bit more, a little bit hungrier and all that, and then maybe I'll come back and try to find this. You would jump at the chance. You would be elated. You would be ecstatic that there was a way. You would be thrilled. Sometimes people get upset at Christians or at the claims of the gospel because Jesus said, what? He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. And they say, that's awful exclusive. You know, there's got to be another way. No, no, be thankful that God provided a way. And don't be so stubborn and willful or whatever, you know, and think that, you know, God is obligated to provide us a menu like a restaurant of different ways. If there was another way, then what Jesus did on the cross means nothing. It wasn't necessary. God's offer remains on the table. Again, in the Gospel of John, Jesus spoke to them saying, I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. And he also said in John 12, I have come as a light into the world that whoever believes in me should not abide in darkness. That offer is still on the table. That offer is still extended, and it is the only one available. And I hope that doesn't offend you. I hope that doesn't upset you. But I believe with all my heart, and I've staked my life on it, and I'm going to take it to the grave. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through him. And he's extended it. He said, listen, I have come so that you don't have to walk in darkness. I'm the light of the world. You can have the light of life. Whoever believes in me doesn't abide in darkness. I'm almost through. When you contrast light and darkness, it's an interesting thing to consider. Darkness is just the absence of light, right? If this room, you know, in just a few moments, we're going to turn the lights off. Notice what I said. And we're going to sing Silent Night, you know, with our candles lit and all that. You know, if I say, okay, the room is too bright, go turn the dark switch on over there. Right? No. If the room is too bright, you turn the light off. If the room is too dark, you turn the light on. Light is tangible. Light has properties. Darkness is just the abyss, you know? It's nothing. But it is a dangerous place because the prince of darkness dwells there, right? Satan himself. When the light of Christ comes into your life, you become light also. And that's a beautiful thing. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 5, in the Sermon on the Mount, he said, "You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden." A couple verses later, he said, "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven." If we have God's Spirit living in us, then we have the light inside of us, and our responsibility is to let that light shine. Remember the Sunday school song little kids sang growing up in church? Hide it under a bushel. No! No! I'm going to let it shine. Right? Don't let Satan blow it. All right, I won't do it. But I'm going to let it shine. Let it shine. Let it shine. People should see the light of Christ in our lives. And hopefully it doesn't just cause them to say, "Oh, you know, what a nice guy, what a nice gal." The Bible says, Jesus said, people should see the light of God in our lives and glorify God, because we know that it's Him that's done, Him that's doing it in our lives. I've shared this story before, but little girl, mother bought her a toy flashlight, and as she's checking out at Walmart, she's so excited, and she rips it open, and she turns it on, and, you know, it wasn't working very well because it's so bright. I mean, it was working, but you couldn't see it. She couldn't see, you know, she was just enamored by, you know, pointing a flashlight in a dark place. And she couldn't do it in Walmart because it was so bright. And she said, "Mom, can we go somewhere dark so that I can shine my flashlight?" And that's really what God is calling all of us to do, is to shine our light, even in dark places, and especially in dark places. So as we close here tonight, I want to, first of all, did anybody not, when you come in, not get a candle? If you didn't, we'll just pass out. We're trying to hand them out ahead of time. I'm going to ask the worship team, or Jen, I'm not sure how you guys are doing, to come on up to the stage again, because we're going to prepare to close. But if anybody needs candles, we'll begin to light them in just a moment. If you have the light of Christ in your life, then others need to see it. And we should pray that what they would see would draw them to the Savior. I heard something just today that I thought was really cool. We all know, I shouldn't say that, because maybe we don't. Jesus was not born on December 25th, okay? That was a date that was picked, and it was related to some, you know, Roman holidays and different things. And, you know, some people get all uptight because it was a pagan holiday and all that, that Constantine, you know, the Roman emperor who became a Christian, wanted to use that as a, you know, all that. But this person said something very intriguing. Said that why this date, December 25th, and you know how the seasons go and the sun and all, and we are at the darkest time of the year, right? This is the darkest time of the year, this week here that we're in right now. Shortest days, the least amount of sun. And there, I think there's great wisdom, maybe more than we've ever given credit for, why this time was chosen. When the world was in its darkest time, the light of God came. And again, even though it wasn't December 25th, there's, I think, a real interesting truth and or reason why we celebrate it on that on this time, on this day, on December 25th. I'm going to ask you to stand, and a couple other just a closing thought or two. If you don't have the light of Christ in your life, Jesus says this. He says, while you have the light, believe in the light, that you may become sons and daughters of the light. While that opportunity is there, don't miss the opportunity. And I just encourage you, whether you're here every week or whether you're new or a visitor or whatever, I just hope and pray that these few minutes that I shared these thoughts would speak to your heart. And if you're in that place and you say, you know, maybe you've never heard the message of the gospel before, maybe you've heard it, but you put it off, don't assume. Don't assume. And I'm not into scare things or into fear or whatever, but don't assume you'll always have another opportunity. Talks in Hebrews about, in the Bible, about today is the day of salvation. And, you know, if there's an opportunity, avail yourself of that opportunity. You know, for me, that day came in 1977 when I said yes to Jesus and I asked Him to come into my life. And I said on Sunday, I didn't fully understand, you know, what I hopefully, you know, after 42 years understand a little bit better today. I didn't fully understand how absolutely helpless and lost I was without Him. I mean, I knew that I was a sinner, and I knew that He was the only way. I mean, I had become convinced of that. But it's like as I grew in the Lord, it's like I realized more and more how much I need Him. And hopefully, we're all kind of on that same journey of realizing each and every day how much we need Him more and more and more. I'll go back to where I started. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwelt in the land of the shadow of death, upon them a light has shined. Will you open your heart to Christ's light and life and let Him shine in you even this night? Father, I pray for everyone here. The message of the gospel is that we were separated from God because of our sin. The Bible says all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. It's a universal condition. The only person that ever walked on this earth sinless was the Lord Jesus Himself. He was the only one who had the ability.